Hey, what's going on, everybody? Today, I had the honor to chat with Canadian Midday host of Virgin Radio and iHeartRadio correspondent Shannon Burns. In this newest episode, Shannon joined me to talk about all things Pride, how she got a job in radio, favorite interview she's done, experience interviewing Niall Horan, Lewis Capaldi, meeting Oprah Winfrey, the importance of networking, her phone conversation with Taylor Swift, and more. Now, with that being said, hope you enjoy my conversation with Shannon. Shannon, hello. It's great to be able to talk to you.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks so much for thinking of me for the podcast.
No, honestly, I've been a big fan of your interviews. I've been watching a lot of the things that you've been and the guests that you've been talking to. I know that like you've had a list of, I guess, I think it's crazy to say that you've been able to interview pretty much every single person that has walked this planet. Let's just be honest.
That's pretty much it. And a few times, some of them a few times now. So we're starting to like lap back around.
And may I say that the Lewis Capaldi interviews are absolute gold material.
Thank you so much.
Like, honestly, I feel that Lewis Capaldi, that was an interesting interview. And I loved how, the thing about interviews that I love most about them is that when you have a good interview is when people or the guests that you have on, and you ask the question to them and then they kind of be like, whoa, I never thought you would ask me that question. And it's a good question. And when people tell you it's a good question, you're doing your job right. So like, can you talk to me about like what it takes, I guess, to be in the position that you are in and sort of how did you first land this job and I guess as a whole?
So I went to school for TV and radio broadcasting. I went to Niagara College. So that's really where I got my start. I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I was in high school, and I was getting to the point where we had to start applying for colleges. So I was freaking out a little bit, and I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And I knew that I really liked pop culture. That was like my preferred interest. That's like I just cared a lot about it and knew a lot about it, I thought. So I wanted to do something around that. And then I saw that there was a program for broadcasting. And I was like, oh, something like clicked. I was like, that's exactly what I want to do. So I went to school thinking that maybe I would get into like news or something like that. I didn't know too much about radio, but I did like listening to the radio. And I always like calling into radio stations to like try and win prizes and try and get my voice on the radio. So then once I started doing classes for radio, that's when I just like totally fell in love with it because it's so chill and it's really fun. And the more fun that you have on the air, the better job you're doing, which I think is like that's such a dream job. So then I started really focusing on that. And then I got an internship in Edmonton, Alberta for at a radio station when I was finishing up school. And then I just started working my way up there. So I ended up in Alberta for like a total of 5 years working at a few different stations. I ended up getting my own radio show. And then that eventually, yeah, I was working at Virgin Radio Edmonton by the time that I left there. And then I came to Toronto and hosted the evening show on Chum for a couple years. And then I got offered a syndicated show on Virgin Radio, which I've been doing now for just about 2 years. So I'm on all the Virgin stations across Canada now. So I'm on 12 total. And then and then so iHeart is a big part of Virgin Radio and Bell Media and all of that. So they were looking for someone to do some like iHeart interviews. So and I jumped at that opportunity because interviewing is like my favorite part of the job. So the more that I was doing, the more they started to give me. And now I've done a lot. So that's been nice.
Yeah, honestly, like, obviously, you've had a whole, I guess, resume full of experiences that you've worked in newsrooms or like in radio rooms, which is really interesting because, as a person that has studied radio in college as well myself, like at Humber College, I did radio broadcasting and the diploma program there for 2 years. And I think a lot of the professors, they will tell you, and people who are not familiar with the radio broadcasting world, it's not easy. But the professors there will tell you, like straight up on your first day of classes or even on orientation day, is that they will tell you, get to know all of your classmates because you never know one day they could become your bosses. And basically, like, you may not think that people, you don't know anybody in the radio world, but once you work in a station, even if it's outside of Toronto, like in a small town, everybody knows everybody. Like, it pretty much is like a promotion thing. It's like when you do a really good job at one station, somebody else suggests you to another place, and then they suggest you to another hiring manager. Then you go through another interview process there. It's a whole list of different processes that you go through. But I mean, what was it about radio in as a whole that sort of made you want to feel that you want to do this as a full-time thing in a career?
Yeah, kind of like what I was saying, that like it's so much fun to do. And rather, I think when I was considering things like news, I kept thinking like, oh, that's such a, like, it's so depressing to have to like report on the news every day, right? So that it's just so serious and things. So when it comes to radio, it really gave me the opportunity to talk about my preferred interests, which is pop culture and music and all of these things that I really like. So yeah, it just seemed like a perfect fit. And now that I do the job every day, I like am reminded of that all the time, because I'm just always researching different topics. And like, so much of radio now is also social media, and I love social media and everything about that. So it really just fit who I am very well. So that was, yeah, it was just really nice that now I can go in and I can do my radio show, which is always really fun. And then I can also just like make TikToks, and that's part of my job, which is so crazy. Whenever I'm just like sitting in the studio making TikToks, I'm like, I can't believe that this is what I get paid to do.
Right. And obviously during your, I guess, experiences with Niagara College, you got an internship at a station. I think it was Hot 107, in Edmonton, but now I think it's called Play 107. Which is, I think the host is Ryder, over there too.
Ryder is actually the reason that I got my very first on-air job, 'cause I was working there just like in the promotions department, and that he was putting me on air when he could, 'cause he knew that I wanted to do that. And he helped me with like my demo reel, and he helped like get me in contact with the station that I ended up working at after that. So he's like a big part of the reason that I am here now, which is crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, from all the station that you've been able to work in, I mean, from, I guess, the Hot 107 to Chum 104.5 to now Virgin Radio, and being an iHeartRadio correspondent, and being able to meet and basically chat with people that are like popular, that we only dream of chatting with, you know, like, I think one of my favorite interviews that you've done was with Austin Butler, and Olivia de Jong, from the Elvis film. And obviously like that one really took off as well. But I will say the Taylor Swift interview, everybody's been talking about that one. I saw it all over TikTok. I was like, oh my goodness, like I saw it on the Talking Fast podcast, which I'm a huge fan of. I listen to that almost every single day, and I like the way that they have conversations. But I thought it was interesting how you sort of like explained how the Taylor Swift interview went, you know, because it's not like you make contact with Taylor and their management people, their PR people, whatever. But it's interesting to know that she actually wanted to get to know you guys first before she even jumped on to talk with you guys. You know, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So what was so fascinating about that approach from like other things that other people do, but like aside from other people, like what was more fascinating about what Taylor Swift was, or her approach, I guess?
So I interviewed Taylor like 4 years ago. I think it was about 4 years ago, but, and I, before the pandemic hit and we just have been doing everything on Zoom, a lot of times if an artist wasn't able to come in person, we would do a phone interview, and I don't like phone interviews. They're just like not fun. I love having body language and being able to look at someone. So that Taylor was probably my very like last phone interview I ever did. And then, so I got to interview her over the phone, and because you don't get to see someone's face and you don't really get to know them because it's just like a voice on the other line, what Taylor Swift did, which is just so cool, and I've never heard of any other artist do this, is she had everyone that was interviewing her send in a photo of themselves and two fun facts about themselves, so that she felt like she could get to know the people that she was talking to, and we're not just like another voice on the line, which I think just goes to show, and Taylor is obviously having like her moment right now, but a reason that she's as successful as she is because she always puts in that little bit of extra effort in everything that she does. And her fans see that in her music and the way that she interacts with her fans. And she's always just been like the best at everything like that. So I think that was just another example of Taylor really just going above and beyond and like doing that. And that really stuck with me. So that's why I shared that story, because I was like, how cool is it that Taylor like any other artist would just be like, okay, next, next. But she really took the time to be like, okay, who am I talking to? Like, who is this person? How can we have a conversation and make it just that much better? So that really was helpful for me. I wish I remember the facts that I sent in. I tried to find it in my email and it's like gone at this point, but yeah, I think Taylor is just like one of the best, and there's a reason that she's like the top, and that's just like one of those reasons.
And what do you think about her newly released, I guess, or newly announced Eras film, her concert film? What do you think about that?
I'm so excited for it. I couldn't get tickets to her concert and I'm so disappointed. So, and my fiance Morgan is the biggest Swiftie that I know. And so the day that they went on sale, I bought tickets. So we're going to have a little date night when that comes out. I think it's such a great idea. And it also just goes to show like she is such a front runner for so many things. Like I think we're going to see so many other artists do this now too, especially because I think it's predicted that it's going to bring in like $100 million in the first weekend. So I just think it's really smart that she's doing that. And it's just like another fun Taylor Swift experience. It's great.
Yeah. And I also want to, like, aside from like the radio type of things that we're going to talk about, but I feel like this is more important to talk about. And I don't know how many people have talked to you about this, but I really want to talk about it because I think it's important to you. You know, we know a lot about, we're aware that, you know, you're very aware of the LGBTQ2+ communities. And you're very aware of that with your relationship with Morgan, and you guys recently got engaged. Congratulations on that one. So like, I mean, as we're talking about this, I'm curious, like, do you feel like, I know there's a lot of like, I know sports, they do Pride Month type of activities in their games and stuff like that. And then there's also the Pride Month alone here in Toronto. But then do you feel like we're starting to see a growth of respect for that community, or where do you think that's headed?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. And thank you so much for asking that. What we've seen, especially in the last year, is like it really starting to go the opposite way. And us as queer people, and especially trans people, are noticing that there's just so much more hate that's coming our way. So this year, and talking to friends throughout Pride Month and stuff, there was kind of just like this sense of a lot more like exhaustion and like fear, and just, I don't know, it's just been like really sad to see, because we've had like a record amount of anti-LGBTQ+ legislation being introduced in the US. And we know that anything that happens in the US that also like spills into Canada. We saw that with Trump, and all of that. So that's definitely something that we're noticing and we're seeing in the queer community. And a lot more people are open about their hatred against queer people. And I have a particularly like close relationship with all of that because I grew up in a really religious community. So a lot of the people that I grew up with and family members aren't accepting of me being queer. So I think that's why it's so important for me to speak out about this, because this is, it's just like an ongoing issue and it's not getting any better, which means that we just have to like fight that much harder. And Pride started as a protest, but it still is a protest right now because we're still fighting. So I think that's, for me, such a huge incentive to want to talk about this stuff, because I think people don't even realize the extent of like how much hate there is. Like I went on a talk show, The Social, during Pride Month to talk about like the hate that Morgan and I got for announcing that we were engaged, because I do post online and stuff. So I went on the talk show to talk about that. And then even that, like a clip of that, of me talking about how there's this uptick in hate, that was online. And then people were jumping on that and hating on that and being like, you don't know what you're talking about. Or like, there isn't hate. You guys are just projecting, when we are the ones that are experiencing that and we're sharing our experiences. So to not only have to deal with the hate, but then also deal with people belittling our experiences when we do talk about it, it's just overall very frustrating. And yeah, it's just like all that more, so much more of a reason for me to like be outspoken about it and keep talking about it. So thank you for asking about that.
No, honestly, I felt like there's a lot of things where people just don't, I guess, are afraid to talk about things like this because of being in the fear of having backlash of what people would say about it if they did talk about it. But I also want to mention that, like, you know, you're talking about on the Talking Fast podcast about like you guys host like different picnics and stuff like that. But like, do you feel like, as we're talking about this whole topic, do you feel that hosting these types of events sort of brings, I guess, more awareness in terms of the community itself, or do you think it is something that has been, I don't know how to really describe this, but like, do you think it's something that people are going to fear about, or like, how, what is your approach on that? Because I'm curious, because there's a lot of different spectrums in terms of how you can approach that.
Yeah, and that's a great example too, because last year we hosted a picnic and we were a little bit worried about like security issues or just like people who aren't accepting of the queer community seeing all of us being there with our flags and things like that. So there was a bit of concern, but then the day went off without a hitch. Like it was totally fine. And this year we really had a lot more conversations about it because we were starting to get even more scared. So that's just a perfect example of like how we're just feeling more scared in general because there's been so much hatred out there. But for us, I just don't think, yeah, for us, it's not a reason to ever stop. It's just a reason to keep going because it just goes to show that there's so many more queer people out there that don't feel safe. So we plan these picnics and these like get-togethers where we just invite whoever wants to come. The reason that we have it is to create a safe space. So there's a lot of people out there that don't have a safe space. I didn't have one until I was like in my 20s. I wasn't allowed to like even talk about being gay before that. So that's, yeah, for me, that's such a good incentive to just like keep doing it and then just like have extra security and like make sure that we're like well taken care of when we're there. But I was planning actually to have even more picnics. Like originally the plan for this summer was to have a picnic in a different Ontario city for every weekend of Pride Month. And when I started planning that, I was like talking to people in different cities and there was a lot of like concerns that came up about safety and stuff. So we decided to just scrap that for this year and then put a lot of work into it and hopefully do that next year. But it was for that reason, because we were like just scared, yeah, of all the stuff going on.
Yeah, and honestly, like you, I guess it seems like it's working out the way it should be, and you guys are feeling more fulfilled and more than ever before to be able to see the turnout that it gets, because it's not only like picnics, like people are doing this at music festivals, you know, there's different events happening around the city, but I mean, I'm curious, like with you and Morgan, are you starting to feel more fulfilled each day in terms of like where you're headed in the future, and what goals you want to set out? Do you feel sort of that satisfaction, I guess, or the, I don't know how to really describe this, or like the gratification of being able to now openly, you know, like show what your relationship is about and stuff like that?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like I look at her all the time and I'm like, I can't believe that. Like I've gotten to the point in my life where not only am I able to be out because I was in the closet for so long, but I also just get to like celebrate our like love and queer love, which is really exciting. So like us getting engaged was a huge moment for me because I was like, oh, not only am I like a proud lesbian, but now I get to like be with the person that I love and we get to get married, which is something that so many queer people didn't get to do for such a long time. Like it was only in our lifetime that gay marriage has become legal. So I think for us, that's something that we talk about all the time and something that we celebrate. And I think for myself personally, growing up religious, I just thought that I would like, even when I realized that I was queer, I was like, oh, I think I might still have to just like marry a man and suck it up and like have kids with a person and all of these things. So I think for me, yeah, it's just been like a very long and exhausting journey to get to where I am and to be able to publicly be open about who I am. So the fact that I have found the love of my life and she's my best friend and all of these things, it's like a very beautiful and celebratory experience that we're going through right now. And we haven't even like gotten married yet. We still have to like plan the wedding and do all of that stuff. But we definitely want to make our wedding day very much about like queer love and really just like celebrating and honoring the people that like allow us to get married.
Yeah. I mean, do you know where you want to get married at?
We haven't figured it out yet. We were just talking yesterday of some friends were asking, they're like, when's the wedding date? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, we haven't done one single thing about it, but we're thinking somewhere like in the States. Like our dream scenario would be like a summer camp in Vermont or something like that. So we might end up just doing something like that.
Yeah, for sure. And talking about celebratory moments. I really want to go back to talking about your interviews that you've had. You've interviewed pretty much the biggest celebrities and names in music, but also in entertainment, from Lewis Capaldi to Ed Sheeran to Taylor Swift to Miley Cyrus. I mean, if there was one interview that stuck out to you out of the bunch that you've already done, what one interview, what one guest do you feel was your favorite out of anything?
Yeah, I feel like I have to say Lewis Capaldi because that was just like such a I don't know, that was like such a great interview. And I think it's like gotten the most attention and it's the one that people like bring up the most. And I'm just like really proud of that one, I think. And yeah, so that was definitely a big one for me. And I kind of caught him off guard in a question like we were talking about where he was very surprised by the question that I asked. And that I always see that clip like go around online and stuff. So I think for me, I work really hard in researching the artist that I'm talking to, similar to you. I can tell that you've done so much research. So that's fantastic. But yeah, so I just like want to do a really good job. So that was one of those interviews where like I put in a lot of hard work and then that hard work like paid off. And I also like made a great connection with Lewis Capaldi. And he was kind of the first artist too that like when I interviewed him again, he was like referencing our past interview and we created this whole rapport. And even like I interviewed Lewis and that was great. And we posted online. And then I interviewed like Niall Horan like 2 or 3 weeks later. And as soon as I introduced myself to Niall, he already knew who I was because he had seen that interview. And I'd never had anything like that happen before. So that was just like surreal. And yeah, it's what I want to be doing and it's what I want to be known for. So the fact that it had that like payoff and I like made a great connection with Lewis throughout that, I think that's one that really sticks out for me.
Yeah, and it's really fascinating to be able to listen to your interviews and to know like how exactly like these celebrities actually like personally feel, because like I listen to like a lot of interviews, and a lot of people will direct it as like a media type interview where it's like these guys don't have like time to answer it fully the way they wanted to. But when you have time and you sit down with somebody and you get to really know them on a personal level, not as an artist level or an actor level or an actress level, and you get to know them as the individual themselves, not the name of the not the celebrity name, because I think a lot of people these days will focus just on the celebrity name because they know who they are, because of their experiences they've had and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, Lewis Capaldi was a definitely like a really funny interview because I loved how like you asked him about about his brother, and he's like, "Whoa, like nobody has asked me about my brother," and he's like, "I never expected you to ask me that," and stuff like that. But I find it really hilarious. Lewis Capaldi is a character; he really is a character. But I mean, if you were to choose, like aside from Lewis Capaldi, I know like it's probably the one of the most popular interviews, but like, if there was like another interview that you sort of like stuck out to you the most, which one would it be?
Well, okay, that's tough to say. I do really enjoy talking to Niall Horan. He's always someone that I have a great time interviewing. I getting to interview Miley Cyrus was a really big moment for me because I've just been such a huge fan of hers since I was a child, since she was like on Hannah Montana. So that was very surreal because she's just someone that I've just like we're born like a week apart, so I've just always watched and studied her whole entire career. So that was a moment too that sticks out because I really like fangirled in that interview because usually I can just like pull it together and be professional because it's my job and I have to be. But that one I was like I was freaking out and I was really nervous for that one. So that was one too. And that was one of the first interviews too where I had asked her a question and then her answer had started to like get picked up in like articles and online. So I never had that prior to that. So that was a really cool experience too, to like get information from her that was of interest to other people. And then other people started talking about it. And then there was like articles and it was like talked about on like eTalk and ET Canada and like things like that. So that was cool too, because I think like as interviewers, our goal is to ask people questions that they haven't already been asked. That's why I put so much research into it, because I don't want to just like waste the person's time. I want to, they're giving me their time, so I want to like honor that. And then I want to kind of like be that mediator between the artist and the fans. And I want to find out information that the fans want to know. So yeah, so that was really also just like reassuring in a way that I like did my research and got information from Miley that people didn't know and wanted to know, and they had interest in that. So it was cool.
Yeah, and that's exactly the way that I want my that I run my show now. Because before, like, I used to like really like ask these, like, well, have like a whole list of like questions already written down. But then now I've kind of like I've listened to different interviewees, like people like Barbara Walters, Larry King, and I start like researching on I watch a lot of their interviews and I start to see how are they interviewing the person. And then I sort of like, man, they're not really like having any questions prepared. This is like they have like the first two questions prepared, then they're like scrap the rest and let it flow off the top because everything comes from a natural conversation.
Crazy.
You know, it's, yeah, it's like crazy.
Larry King, one time I heard him say in an interview that he doesn't do any prep. He just like asks the questions that like pop into his head. And like Oprah would do that too. She has like this iconic interview with Michael Jackson that was like the most viewed thing in 93 or whenever she did it. And she said that she didn't prepare a single thing. She just like sat down and then just like started talking. And I'm like, I could never do that. I'm the total opposite. But it is true. Like it's good to have questions, but then like have a conversation.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you've met Oprah. I mean,
I've met Oprah. How crazy is that?
Yeah, it's crazy. And I know that, like, you know, you've idolized her for a long time, and being able to meet one of your heroes is such a thrilling feeling, being able to know that you can check that off your box now, that you've done that. Yeah. You've been able to accomplish that. So I want to talk about also this important other thing that, like, we hear a lot about, like, even if you're a radio person and you interview some of the biggest names in entertainment or music history, networking is such an important aspect of that too. Like, how much of that, like, how much significance did that play in terms of your career?
Oh, tons. Like, it's everything. That's what whenever I talk to like students or classes and stuff, I always push the point of just like networking. And like you said, like, people that I went to school with, I now are my coworkers and I work with all the time or have worked with. So it is so important to start networking and making those connections while you're in school. And then also like continue to network in your career. Every job that I've gotten has not been because I like saw a posting online and then applied for it and then got it. It was because I had already made those prior connections with people at the stations and they already knew who I was. And so it kind of gave that jumping off point and it kind of like allowed it to start a few steps ahead, if that makes sense. So like my job, my goal was to always be back in Toronto. I always wanted to work in radio in Toronto. So luckily enough, because I'm from this area, when I was living out in Alberta for 5 years, anytime that I was back in Toronto, like visiting family, I would always ask different radio hosts to go for coffee. I would always just like ask people how they got to where they were, like similar to what you're doing. And just like made connections with the bosses and stuff like that. So that, and then that ended up working in my favor because when the job listing became open for Chum, I applied for that job and I had already known Sarah, who ended up being my boss, because of making those prior connections. And then we just like met for coffee and she was like, do you want the job? And I was like, yeah, I do. So I wouldn't have probably gotten that job if I hadn't networked. So yeah, very important.
Yeah. And you know, like for people who are unaware of this other event that happens, I think it's the OAB day, I think is what it is, where you sort of like have this event where you go on a panel of people that are from sales department to promotion departments to announcers to different like promotions people, sports, if you want to get into that as well. And you get to ask them questions about, you know, like, what does it take to get a job in the sports world? What does it take to get a job in sales and stuff like that? And I think it's important to note that, like, yes, making connections is so important. Like I found that out like relatively quickly within LinkedIn. You know, you make connections with these people, even if it's sports, even if it's like the worst person you've ever met, but like still, like it's still a connection, you know, and you never know how that sort of leads to another door that opens. And I know that you've experienced that in your career already. I mean, with the whole thing with Humber and stuff like that, and being able to learn from different like people actually in the field already and teaching you like firsthand, you know, how do you work Burley? How do you sort of put a newscast in? How do you build it? And then putting audio in and then clipping audio out and stuff like that, and getting like interview clips of different things that happened in the city and stuff like that. And it's frustrating. It really does. It gets frustrating at points, but like you just have to persevere at this point. It's hard. Like you're gonna get in your head a lot. And making sure you're taking time to give yourself a break when you need to, and then come back and refocus on what you're doing and stuff like that. And so like I really want to know, because I know that your mom sort of played a huge part in terms of this career as well. Because I remember listening to one of your interviews and somebody was asking you about when you were deciding to go into a career of radio, like who was the first person you basically like who did you let know first about the career? And you said your mom, because you asked her about it, and she was so fully supportive and started like helping you with getting jobs and stuff like that. So can you talk about like briefly about the significance your mom has played in your career?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So I think for my mom, something that we learned in like radio school is that like you can't go into radio thinking that you're gonna like be really rich. Like it's definitely not a career that where you're gonna like make a lot of money. And I remember talking to my mom about that, where I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna like be successful money-wise in this career, but I'm definitely gonna be happy. And she really pushed for that, where she's always like reminded me to like don't chase the dollar, but like chase, as cliche as it is, or like whatever. She was like, if find that job that makes you feel like you don't, it isn't a real job, that you're not working every day for the rest of your life. So that really motivated me to like go after this career. And then when I told her that I wanted to move to Alberta to like work my way up in that way, at first she was like, why do you want to do that? And I was like, I think I have to. So then she really helped me with that. She like drove me across the country with all of my things. She paid my rent when I was like doing an internship and like not getting paid right away. So I definitely don't think that I would be where I am today without my mom's help. And that's, I recognize that I come from a place of privilege where I had opportunities because she was so supportive in that way. So yeah, she's just like a huge part of that. And she also is just like the hardest working person that I've ever met. She just like goes so hard in everything that she does. Like she was a server her whole life, and then decided that she like wanted her own restaurant, and that was always her dream, and she had no idea how to do it, but she just like bought a restaurant and then just like figured it out as she went. And now it's one of the most popular restaurants in her hometown, and she's had it for years and years. So I think I just admire her a lot in that way. And yeah, she's wonderful for that, and she's such a like a little businesswoman, and I love that for her. So, and she like is always, anytime that I call her, I'm like, is this going to be a business call or is this going to be a mom call, because she like loves talk and business. So yeah, she's great.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's the end of our time together, but thank you so much for just taking the time to chat with me. It's such a lovely time to be able to explore this whole career with you. And like for me, trying to get into a job in radio hopefully soon, because I've been looking for like every single day now, trying to get a job in radio and stuff like that, and
Really?
haven't been successful in it yet. Even if I applied for like different like positions outside of Toronto, it's been difficult to even
Oh shoot, I'm sorry to
get a
hear
job.
that. You're so talented though. You are very good at this. So I have no doubt that you like get something and just climb your way to the top. So keep going forward.
Hopefully like I'll be able to connect with you and maybe like get some help in terms of reaching out to different
Yeah.
people to get a job, hopefully in
Totally. Yeah.
radio.
Anything that you need, yeah, let me know for sure. Happy to help. Glad we
Absolutely.
connection. Look at us, networking.
Yeah, I know, right? Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me. I had such a blast, and I wish you and Morgan the best, and hope you guys have
Thank
a
you.
ha I hope you guys have a happy marriage and live happily ever after, I guess they would say.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
All right, to the listeners who made it this far into the episode, thanks so much for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Midday host of Virgin Radio and iHeartRadio correspondent Shannon Burns. You can connect with Shannon on her Instagram, Twitter, and on TikTok if you want to see a lot of her content that she makes there. Pretty gold material, I will say. Even the secret word one, that was legendary, I will say.
Yeah, that's great, hey?
Well, to help support my show, please feel free to share with family, friends, or social media. You can connect with me on all podcast stream platforms as well as on socials. I've been your host, Shigmi Kyotsang. Thanks for tuning into the show. Thank you.